Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
All right, Steve, have you ever really wanted to choke your AI?
You know, only every other Monday, Tuesday, and definitely today. But hey, you know, that's just life in the digital fast lane, right?
Exactly. And that's chaos, that's stress, and that's exactly why this episode hits home. We're diving into something we've never really tackled head on here, mental health in the trades and the shop floor.
Yeah, our guest, Jessica Hallahan, she's a stress management educator and founder of Journey to Yourself. This episode, it brings the heat. It's real talk, no fluff. She's been in the trenches with addiction, burnout, and the pressures we pretend don't exist, especially in the male-dominated industries.
And she's just not another one of those spewing buzzwords. She's been through it, burned out at 24, and came back with a mission to help blue-collar teams actually function like sustainable human workplaces.
We're breaking down generational attitudes, calling out BS excuses, and yeah, we even talk about why commenting is the new word for bitching.
Because boomers, Gen X, millennials, Gen Z, we throw them all into the mix. So if you lead a team, run a crew, or just trying to keep your own sanity in check, this one's for you.
This episode, it will make you laugh, it'll make you think, and it'll probably make you check in on your crew just a little differently.
Let's get into it.
Welcome back to the show, Brad Herta. How are you doing today, my friend?
I am doing way better than you are, apparently, based on our pre-show conversations.
Yes, it has been quite the day, you know, just right before we press record, this stupid thing is going off. We're having fun in AI land. If it had a throat, I'd choke it. So
yeah, see, AI is fun because you can't fire it. Well, all you can do is shut it off. You can't yell at it. You can't argue with it. You can try typing an argument with it, but you're always going to lose.
You know, I've got mine programmed to, it's programmed to say, wow, that sucks. So what are you going to do?
Perfect.
You know, you
people
just
pay a lot of money for that. They pay a lot of money for that cotton.
Wow. Okay. That's going to be this kind of show today. All right. All right. And how's Brad today? Now that we know my little struggles.
I am way better than you. We just got to figure out how to cut the pool cover, the new solar cover for the pool, so it doesn't get all kittywampus and all that stuff because the weather is finally warm here. So
it is. It's so not
we,
nasty.
That way we can avoid turning on the heater, hopefully, and right? save a little dollars. So
nice. So Brad, who do we got on the show today?
Today we are going down a journey that we have not ventured before. So this is like going to be the wild, wild west. We're going to go into mental health. We have our guest today, Jessica Hallahan. After earning her master's in public health from Westchester University, Jessica became a dynamic speaker, stress management educator, and founder of the Journey to Yourself, drawing on academic expertise and real world experience, which is what we're going to get here. She recognized the universal truth. Everyone struggles with stress at some point, as evidenced pre-show. That realization filled your mission to help individuals and teams build that resilience and reclaim that balance and become more sustainable workplaces. And since we are a generational show, we've not touched this topic. Jessica, thank you for being here. We can't wait for some real world leadership opportunities for our audience.
Thanks, gentlemen, for having me. I'm so excited. I'm already laughing my butt off. So let's do it.
Yeah, thoroughly enjoying the struggle bus.
Shows up on the show.
Yeah, just enjoying the struggle bus. I love it. So, Jessica, before I forget, which generation do you identify belong to?
We found out that I'm a millennial.
Found out.
We're going to
learn to rise.
Excellent. So, Jessica, tell our audience how you started down the journey of the mental health path and then why you're in that helping people with this.
Yeah, of course. So the nutshell story is I grew up with a household full of addiction, poverty, mental health, all the things. So I just said, I'm going to be a drug and alcohol counselor. So I went to school, started there. I was working at a local rehab with men that were reduced their sentence from jail coming into the rehab. Did it for a couple of years and realized that both my clients and my coworkers were really struggling with stress and neither one of them could figure it out. And going to school for a therapy, they didn't teach you. They just said, hey, by the way, don't burn out. Okay. And this is what bipolar is. And you're like, okay, you know.
Well, by the way, don't ever cross that line between work and personal, because it's a very dangerous thing.
It's a very dangerous thing. Just don't do it. And then, so I went back to school, got my master's in public health. And I actually burnt my own self out at the age of 24, got sick, got hives, was in the hospital, all the fun things. I said, okay, this is definitely something serious, because if I'm 24, don't even know what I'm doing with my career, don't have kids, this is definitely something serious we have to be talking about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that was like last year?
Yeah. I have been in business for 5 years, Brad.
You just have to remember, Brad is the boomer, and he's really going to discourage open mental health discussions. So
let's do it. I love a challenge. Let's go.
No, you're not wrong.
On which part?
Yeah, right. You're right. There's a couple things said there.
So as we're a generational show here, right? From your experiences thus far and the clients you've worked with and things, what are some signs across the generations that might be different or unique to whether it's Gen Z, Millennial, Gen X, or Boomers that leaders should be looking for? Because we have more, we're getting younger leaders in the workplace. That doesn't mean the workforce is getting younger, but the leaders are. So how can leaders recognize that there's something's not right?
Yeah, so I want to point out a harsh statistic first, that construction is the second leading dying by suicide. So I do want to bring that up for a couple of reasons, because I think there's a highlight of, you know, jokes aside for just 2.5 seconds of, you know, as a man, you're usually running the household, right? They're usually the, you know, taking care of the kids in the sense of like financially, right? They're the ones working overtime. They're the ones that don't know what their schedule are. They don't, not even just their schedule, when they're like, okay, I'll be home at 5:00. And then, you know, the truck didn't come in till late. So then this happened or the, like, whatever, right? So there's that uncertainty, and then you have to go communicate that to your family, who now you missed a baseball game and all these things, right? So I bring up all these things in the sense of we overlook what it really does look like. It's not always just the person that's sad and, you know, things like that. It's also the really angry person. It's the really quiet person. It's the happy person, right? And so it is just making that time, and I know among everything else we're doing, to have those check-ins, and it doesn't have to be like, Brad, how did it make you feel when Steve made that joke? Right? It's not that. It doesn't have to
like
be
shit, because he's a prick.
It doesn't have to be like that, right? Because that's going to be your response. Let's be real, right? Like, that's going to be your response. You're like, cool, now can I go back to work? I have shit to do, right? So it's like, that's not going to, I noticed that usually, so, you know, we'll make the comment we did earlier, like, Steve's getting a little frustrated with AI, blah, 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 right? This is normal stuff. We want to throw our computers. We make the jokes about choking and all the things. But if Steve really got like a serious pissed off and he really started cursing and you saw him really break the fire alarm thing, right? That might be different. And we might make jokes, but to you, like, oh, like, he doesn't usually act that way. When I see them act differently to a different extreme, whether it's whatever generation, it's a different conversation. Like, yo, Steve, you acted a little different on that time. You good? You're like, oh, this just really pissed me off, man. Cool. Like, was there something I could have done? Or are you just good? It's just a lot going on. Do you want to talk about it? No. I just need to shake it off and get back to work. All right, cool. No, you could talk to me. Right. So it doesn't, I think sometimes we think we have to make it really deep and like, no, just meet them where they're at. Mm-hmm. You know, be aware that that's not usually where he's at. If that's how he needs to be talked to, then that's fine. But just having those check-ins are really important.
Let's go down this path. Let's play some scenarios here. So Steve is the young millennial machine shop worker.
Great. Okay.
I get to be the boomer owner.
Perfect. Okay.
So Steve comes in in the morning, kind of moping around and whining about, well, it's snowing out, it's cold, my kids didn't do this, blah, blah, blah. all this other stuff. And I'm going to be like, I don't really care. Get to fucking work.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. He may have some shit going on that I have no, right? I am just the sure. go to work, go do the thing, because that's a traditional mm-hmm. elder response and a leader response typically versus, and it might be that that same attitude may have come in for like maybe a week in a row. How do you help or support old farts like myself that are not EQ savvy? Right. Because mm-hmm. that bigger thing is being aware and having that EQ mm-hmm. side of it to work on that transition to make change. Because if the older leaders don't make change, they're going to have no young people to lead.
Love that. You need to quote that somewhere because that's amazing.
It's recorded.
It's recorded
for perpetuity. Yeah, yeah.
I think the biggest thing is like, so again, going back to if that guy comes in and my husband and I, we use the word commenting. We don't use, he's not bitching. He's commenting. He's commenting, right? He's also a foreman. So, you know, but don't come bitching all the time. Commenting.
So I get to see your husband going into work. Bill, I notice you've been commenting different today. Is everything okay? That's going to go really well.
Real well.
Not how talking goes down. Not at all.
Not at all. So if you see the younger guy, right, and he comes in, like, to your point, to your view, right, because your perspective, so you see him in a moping behavior. If he, that's his typical behavior at 7 o'clock in the morning, he's usually like, oh, my God, all right, another day, blah, blah. But he's kicking ass. He's doing his job and doing all the things. And by the end of the day, he's not moping anymore. He's talking to Steve. He's talking to you. And, like, it's different. You're like, okay, maybe he's just not a morning person, right? So it's that. But I think the other point was, if he's doing it for a week, if every morning for that week, and you're like, well, how do I actually become aware of that? I think the thing is, it's creating those habits of check-in. So when am I checking in on my team? Again, I'm not saying like an hour check-in every week. Maybe it's every Monday. It's the 5-minute huddle. I know some teams are doing like the stretching now before they sign on to like this job site. Maybe it could also be like, Brad, you good? Everything's good. Weekend was good. You need anything? Steve, you good? Like it doesn't, I think sometimes we think it has to be deeper, but we just create a routine of checking in. And if Steve goes, yo, this weekend was rough. And you're like, cool. Are you able to work today? Can we talk about it at lunch? Can we? And you give him another option because you're like, well, I have job site. I have to run on. I have to get things done. I get that. So like maybe it's, okay, you go call HR if it's that serious, or can we wait till lunch? Are you okay if we wait till lunch to talk? So you kind of give different options too. But I think the biggest thing is creating that routine of just a quick check-in. Do we? You can disagree. You can tell me you don't agree. That's fine. Yeah, do it.
Oh, it's not that I disagree. It's more on the approach, because it's the, I can definitely see the generational tendencies coming out in the approach. So as a Gen X, not going to be as soft with the millennials and Gen Zs in the approach of how to address it.
Mm-hmm.
And versus, you know, I can clearly see how millennials and even Gen Zs come across, and they're going to be more empathetic with the approach. Boomers and Gen Xers, dude, save the drama for your mama. I don't care. Like, pull your boots up and let's go. Well, it's actually pull your pants up and let's go.
I think to your point, tell me if this is what I'm hearing. It always corrects me if I'm wrong, so it's fine. What I think I'm hearing is that you're like, if I'm just going to go, yo, Brad, you good? And he gets upset. How am I reacting? And my biggest thing is what I did get defensive about is on me. If I'm becoming defensive, it's on me. So there has to be also accountability on both ends. If all I said was, yo, Brad, you're good. And then, you know, Brad got upset because he wanted me to be a little softer. That's fine. That's valid. That's not a big deal. Right. It's the fact that like you have to have accountability on your end for how you're feeling though too. Like this can't just be all on me because I asked you a question. And so I think to your point, it's not just like people are going to get upset. Yep. And then we have to also be okay with that. And I think that's the issue too, that we all just can't be always happy and rainbows and butterflies, and that's okay. I can be upset.
Oh, that needs to go on. You can't always get upset. Rainbows and butterflies.
But not all the time, right? Like to your point, like there is stuff you want to, things add up. Sometimes it just gets really annoying, right? Mm-hmm. Like you said, it was the fire alarm. It's the AI. It's the kid. It's from the last. Things add up. It gets annoying, right?
Yeah.
And then there's a point where you could talk to me at lunchtime about it. But if you are going through something serious, also know you can come to me. So there's mm-hmm. And if that is something serious to you, let's talk about it. And that's fine too. We have to have that communication, but you also have to take accountability of what you're going through too, right? And what's becoming defensive and how you're feeling. It just can't just be on me that you're feeling heavy. I can support you and I'm going to support you because I'm a team and I'm a leader, but you also have to do what you can do. I think the best way to do this, this is what I was taught when I was going to school. I said, because you work with people, you're not always going to have 100% day. You're not. Listen, I'm a happy person. I'm excited. You can see me. I'm loud. I got it. Some days I'm a 90%. Some days, believe it or not, my husband doesn't believe it. There's a notch that I go down a little bit, right? Sometimes I'm a little quieter. Sometimes I am, right? So it's just showing up for what you are. If I am only 70% today because I'm like, whatever, didn't sleep well or whatever, then I'm bringing my whole 70%. That's the difference, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm not expecting you. So let's talk about that for a minute, right? So you're bringing the 70%.
Yes.
Today's workforce in general, right? When that 70% is there, how do organizations get the message across that even though it's 70%, you still need to show up versus give up and stay home and stay in bed and do those things? What are some of the techniques and things that you may use to support organizations in that realm? Because there's a lot of, even with my own kids sometimes, it's lots going on. I'm just going to take a day off. And sometimes it's very warranted. You just need the break.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But many times it's the, like you said, I just didn't sleep well today. Work has been great. Things have been fantastic. I just didn't sleep well. I'm going to check out today.
And there's a difference, right? So when I say the 70%, and what I'm saying is like, I'm going to show up that full 70%. So what you're saying is like, how do I create a work environment that if you're showing up full 70%, I'm still giving you the platform because we all have our days, right? We all make mistakes. Right. I've been on stage before and I stumbled over words. I'm like, doing best, guys, doing my best, right? Let me pick myself back up. I think what happens, and the best way I try to explain it, it's like kind of going to the gym. I don't want to go, but I love ice cream, so I got to go, right? So it's one of those. Only reason why I go. But I don't like when I go, like maybe it's, you know, it's just getting there is half the battle. Once I'm there, like, okay, maybe I'm still not, it might be not be my best workout, but I still showed up and I did something. Mm-hmm. I did the best I could that day with the lack of sleep that I got or whatever the case may be, or maybe the stress that I'm going through or the annoyance I'm going through, but I still did the best I could. So in that environment to bring that at work, my job is as an employee, hey, Brad, oh my God, the kids could not sleep last night. Baby was up all night long. I'm here. My main project I'm going to work on is A, B, and C. If there's something else you need me to work on, let me know. But this is kind of where my head's going to be at. I'm going to do my best today. It's communication, right? It's that open door. As a leader, you're doing the same thing. Oh my God. Listen, clients were arguing all last night. We're on the phone with, you know, this project and that project. We couldn't get off the phone. Long day. Guys, if you need me, I'm going to be in the office. I have to catch up on a couple of things, but reach out to me. I'm going to be fine, right? So it's having that. That's what an open door policy is, right? I'm leading by that example.
I kind of want to look and explore things kind of like generation by generation and kind of break that down a little bit if you're open to it. So
I'm open to it. You might have to give me some dates because I didn't.
No, it's all good. So boomers like Brad, or maybe a little older than Brad. I know he's not a boomer, but it's more fun to do that. I know he's
so,
not.
So, hey, Steve.
Hey, Brad.
I'll trade you if the BS is for Boomer Brad.
Yeah.
Do we get to use the S for Steve?
I don't even know where you're going with the S. So
you do know exactly where I'm going with this.
Yeah, well, we can discuss that later. So back on point here. Well, so from a generation standpoint, so I just a quick breakdown here for baby boomers.
Okay.
A 2023 SHRM report found that 62% of older workers, they view mental health as unnecessary or skeptical. All right. Mm-hmm. For Gen X, so boomers are very skeptical. They don't really think about it. Gen X, they value their independence and a pragmatic solution, but a very private, discreet report or a discreet support for that.
Okay.
Okay. And then millennials, they're more vocal about it, about that mental health. So, you know, they're outright seeking therapy. They're prioritizing employment with wellness programs.
Right.
And then with our Gen Zs, they're the most open to mental health support, and they've also have the highest reporting rate of mental health issues and taking a majority of time off for mental health. So at those just high levels there, with those high levels, how can the trades support those younger generations, knowing that each generation has some basic stigma about mental health, and that those that have been in charge don't view it as a priority, those that are coming up do?
Well, and top that off from the leadership side of it, if I'm going to a job site, I've got five guys that need to be on a crew. From a safety perspective, Aaron decides to call in sick today because I'm going to take a mental health day. Now I got four guys and I'm going to be working on safely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think there's a couple things here, right? So one, to the older generation, right, that you're saying that like they don't prioritize it, or to your point or to Sherm, to your team, you're noticing that a group of your team does not prioritize mental health.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going back to educating them, having that one-to-one leadership, showing them why is it important, right? And I think yeah, a lot of times because of social media and things like that, maybe our older generation are going, well, it's just everywhere and everyone cares about it too much. And now it's like it's explosive, right? So now it's all in their face and they're like, it's not that important. And
it's maybe like work from home.
What was that?
It's like work from home, right? It was when work from home came, I was like, there's no way you can't have this happen. And now it's like, how do you make that work?
Yeah. So it's just like, it's how do I get them to understand that it's being talked about so much because there is importance, right? And so understanding why there's importance. And so I think for the older generation, when I come at the older generation, in the sense of speaking to them and educating them, it's very much, this is important because, yeah, you guys, older generation, most of the time you got done your shift. And where did you go? You went to the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
So, and what did you do the whole time at the bar? You commented the whole entire time about work, right? We commented a lot about work. And listen, I was bartending for 15 years. I saw it, I heard it, and I hear it now. Okay.
Okay. Commenting.
Okay.
Commenting is the new word for bitching.
Sure is.
I learned something new today.
I'm not over it.
You're welcome. I got plenty. I can be here all day. So I think it's teaching them like, hey, you did care about mental health. You guys just did it a different way, right? So now the younger generation is no longer going to the bars and sitting and taking the shots back and all the things the way we used to handle our mental health, right? Or, and even older, right? You know, wake up on a Saturday morning, you grab the Miller Lite and you also have your cup of coffee and we're going to sit outside on the porch, right? This is what they did, right? And so, but what were you doing? Well, I got to escape from work. You know, it was a long day, right? So we did it. We had mental health. And so it's teaching them at their level going, no, you did it. We are just saying, how do we remove some of the drinking? How do we remove some of the smoking? How do we get rid of that and educate you? Like, there's a balance.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take your beer away, but I'm going to take your six pack a night away. Right. So that's all. Right? You can have beer every night, but I don't want you having a six pack every night. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of having that conversation.
It is Wisconsin. So I don't know.
Not going to go over well.
Right.
So sorry, guys. Billy here.
So let's talk a little bit about the 14 and younger crowd, which is Gen Alpha, because they're going to be coming into the workforce and they are the most connected generation on the planet from what people see here, etc. Right. They're also getting all of those things that have rolled down through the generations are now starting to impact their behaviors. And they're 2 years away from really entering the workforce in those initial starter jobs and things. Are you seeing anything different or in particular around the mental health space where there might be a behavioral shift or an awareness that's needed?
So I don't work with the younger crowd that young as much as the older crowds, okay. But I can tell you based on what they're saying about their kids and based on just my own research, but not from my own personal experience. I just want to make sure that part's very clear. Based on my own personal experience, I think what a lot of us are kind of doing is we're teaching about mental health in a very big way, which is great. Like talk about your feelings and things like that. I think the other, it's a yes and the and, right? So yes, teach about mental health, teach about how you're feeling, acknowledgement, all the things. Awareness is great. The and part is understanding that someone else is going through that too, right? So again, going back to that accountability piece is because I'm having a sad day does not mean everybody around me has to
be the same.
Thank you. Yes. So it's just, hey guys, I'm having a sad day. Awesome. Is there anything I can do for you? No? Awesome. I have to keep going with my day too, right? So like I'll acknowledge and be aware that you're going through a rough patch, right? Like for whatever reason, some days we just wake up in a bad mood. I get it, right? I'm not coming at you for any kind of reason, but it's a yes and. So yes, I'm having a bad day and other people are going through similar things too. And the train has to keep moving is my mindset.
Okay. And if you're watching Georgia and Jeannie on the Apple TV, you can get a ton of mental health shit there.
Yeah.
Accurate or not, it's not. It is ridiculous. What's that show is like, wow. It is.
There's a lot of information. It's the yes and. It's just, what am I doing with this? Do I need all of this? And even something so simple as like ADHD, people, everyone's getting diagnosed by it, things like that. Why do you need to know? What are you doing with that information? So now, okay, so say they just diagnosed you. Cool. What am I doing with this? Am I learning new time management habits now because I know how my brain works? Am I learning how to do different scheduling or communicate differently because of it? So I think it's that yes and peace with it.
Right. Use it as awareness, not as an excuse. And that's some of the things we teach, right? When we get into this behavioral styles and things like that, just because you're a high D doesn't mean you have to be a dick all the time, Steve.
Hey, sometimes you got to lean in and own it.
Just saying.
Hey, sometimes things just need to be said, and you're just gonna have to get over it, Cupcake.
Hey, how about you bite your tongue right now, Steve?
Nope, we're past that part.
Nope, bring it home.
All right,
bite your tongue.
There you go, bite your tongue. So, Jessica. In your experience over your vast life, have there been any instances where you wish you would have bit your tongue and not made a comment or said what you said? Because we can't put toothpaste back in the tube. So this is kind of the segment where we always ask our guest, has there ever been an instance when you said something that you wish you could have taken back?
And what'd you learn from it?
Well, yeah, and what'd you learn from it?
I don't have to say the incident, right? I could just and tell you what I'm like. Okay.
No, don't worry. Your husband doesn't listen to the show. It's fine.
I'm like, no.
Mom probably doesn't listen to the show either.
I think the thing is, and I think it's your point, like, we all did it. We've all said something numb. We've all done stupid things. We've all hurt people, like, all the things, right? I think the biggest thing is, and I'm going to be so cheesy right now with it, is very much like, forgive yourself and move on, right? Because me beating myself up that I messed up isn't going to get me anywhere, right? Acknowledge it. Brad, listen, I fucked up. I'm sorry. Like, I shouldn't have said that. I acknowledge it. I'm not going to say this, you know, next time that was the wrong thing to say. I'm going to acknowledge it, but I have to move on. The longer that stays with me is not going to benefit me, myself, or the relationship that I have with that person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I like it.
You chickened out on that answer.
I like it.
You chickened out.
So how are people going to, hang on. What was that, Mr. Doyle?
I said you chickened out. Come on.
She did.
She did.
It's okay.
Why? Because I won't tell you an incident?
Yeah. That'd be it. That's a very millennial thing to do. It's fine. Yeah, she recognizes it and accepts it. Her 70% is good enough today, Steve.
I also know if I can think, the only, it's not appropriate. I guess it's like why it's in my brain.
It's all good. So
off recording.
So organizations want to get a hold of you, bring your energy and fun and make awareness better. How do people find you, get a hold of you? Where do they see you, et cetera?
Yeah, of course. I feel like I'm most active on LinkedIn. So Jessica Hallahan, MPH on LinkedIn. And if you just want more information in general, journeytoyourself.net.
Okay. Awesome. So grateful that you were bringing our conversation today. I know we went into a lot of different directions and we had fun with it, but it is a serious topic and we need to be aware, and leaders need to be aware across all generations, and it's different. And empathy and compassion, not always things that are easy for people, but we need to be aware.
Right.
So thank you so much for bringing your energy today. We greatly appreciate it and have an awesome weekend.
You too.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.